Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 6 of the 4-Star Classic. As we talked about last week, and I think we briefly touched on the Still in Developmental podcast, recording got moved around this week because the Tennessee Titans played Thursday Night Football this week. Yeah. So obviously we cannot use Thursday as our recording date because, you know, we had to watch that game. Kind of wish we would have just recorded, but yeah. We'll get there when we'll get to that on Tuesday. But for this episode, we only have the Dynamite review, and I got something I'm going to ask Xavier after the Dynamite review. And, you know, I'll give my answer too. We'll play into it, make it a little segment. But episode's kind of dry bones because we're in the last 2 weeks of our semester in college. So assignments are due, projects are due, tests are happening. You know, it's getting to that go, 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 no break area. So... Yeah. You know, we got to, between this and Still in Developmental, you know, we got to try to keep it balanced and manageable.
Absolutely.
Once the semester ends, these episodes are definitely going to expand in length, they're going to expand in detail, and they're going to expand in quality. So, just hang with us these next 2 weeks. We're trying to get this out for you guys, and, you know, while balancing school and work and all that, but I promise you, it's not going to be like this forever. So, this episode, the November 11th, 2020 episode of Dynamite, this is the Fallout to Full Gear. Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur were the broadcast team. They open us up, and right off the bat, we are starting. They've been advertising this match for a week. Matt Sydal taking on the FTW champion, Brian Cage. Of course, Taz and Ricky Skaggs, as Jim Ross would call him. Are out there. Taz goes to commentary. Starks goes to ringside. Before the match started, Taz, of course, has got to call out Darby, who is still in the rafters. Says that Darby's got no respect for the business. You know, hey, brother, you got no respect for the business. And then, of course, Taz goes to commentary. Before we even get into this match, which I really did like this match. I thought it was very nice, and Sydal worked very clean here. I'll say this, Cage is a better man than me, because he was bumping all over the place for Matt Sydal, and I promise you, if I looked like Brian Cage, I'm not bumping for Matt Sydal.
Look, I just want to throw this out there before we dive into everything. This might have been the most entertaining episode of Dynamite I've seen in a hot minute.
It never slowed down.
It never stopped. Like, I was sitting there smiling the entire time, just watching the show, having a great time.
Yeah, but it did not stop at all.
It did not. Yeah, as you said, man, Taz came up there. He said, Darby, stay your skinny behind up there, to put it nicely. I was like, all right, Taz.
So my thing is, can we get Darby out of the rafters? Like, he's not Sting.
It's not going to happen.
Like, he's not Sting. And I get that it's not going to... But why? Why is he in the... Like, with Sting, it worked. It was new. It was interesting. Darby just looks like a little kid getting scolded every time they put the camera on him. Like, they'll say something. You just see Darby and I'm like, whatever. Like, he just looks like a little kid getting scolded. And like, I love Darby. This dude's got superstar potential. Mm-hmm. If they'll let him do it.
And if he will, I've said this ever since he stepped foot in the AEW ring, he has got to tone back his in-ring style. The dude's going to not, he's not going to be able to walk by the time he's 30.
I think that might be his goal, to be honest.
And
I think he's just trying to get 3 years and see where it leaves him.
I love this business. I love the shows, but at the end of the day, I just want to see everybody okay and everybody having a good time.
Darby said, all right, that's cool, but I'm going to break my neck.
I was like, dog, can you please calm down? Like, it was phenomenal, but can you please calm down?
It's definitely a creative issue, not a Darby issue, because later in the show, like, Darby does a run-in.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. Like, he hits all his marks. It looked great doing it. The crowd's going crazy because it's Darby and he's over. Just get him out of the rafters. Like, that's all you got to do is get this man out of the rafters. Like, Cody called him Sting one time on commentary, and that was all he wrote.
Yeah.
So they note that Sydal has won 5 of his past 6 matches. Of course, the one loss was to Eddie Kingston the last time Sydal was on Dynamite. Mm-hmm. This is something that AEW loves doing. They love, you know, oh, well, they're 17-3 this year. Except the 17 wins came on Dynamite and the 17 wins came on Dark and the 3 losses came on Dynamite.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I get it because you want to establish Dark as a meaningful show, but it does not mean as much as Dynamite, and it never will because it's a YouTube show.
Yeah.
Even though I will say, I believe Tony Khan tweeted out, it was either like before the show or after the show, that sometime soon they're adding another hour of AEW programming on TV. I think that's what he said in the tweet. And I don't think he meant that they're making Dynamite 3 hours. I think he meant they're doing a second 1 hour show.
I think they are doing a second 1 hour show.
I remember back a few months ago, something about that came out, but obviously with the pandemic, you know, that kind of threw all previous plans out.
Yeah.
But I think another hour of TV would help them so much.
I think it would too, but I do not want it to be another hour of Dynamite.
I do not want a 3 hour Dynamite.
It needs to be a separate entity. Like, if they want to take a 9 to 10 slot one night, go for it. Like,
because NBA, their Saturday games are ABC, right?
Yes, it's a combo between ESPN and ABC.
Yeah, so because especially with how good that one Saturday episode of Dynamite did when the NBA playoffs were going, yeah. I would love a 1 hour, like 7 to 8 or 8 to 9 episode of. I guess they would probably try to go 6 to 7 because you don't want to go too late into Saturday night because
they would try to go before the primetime college football games.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously during, like, football season, that would hurt. But, you know, when it's not football season, what really else is on TV Saturday nights?
Yeah.
You know, I think they'll definitely try to target a weekend. Because I can't see them, because NBA, they have NBA Tuesday, Thursday. I can't see them going Monday or Friday because they're not going to go head-to-head with WWE. So I think that kind of leaves Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, and I'd much prefer Saturday over Sunday. So,
Sunday Night Wrestling, throwing it back. Oh, God, now that I said that, Cody's probably going to go petition to get Sunday Night Wrestling.
I've never understood why pay-per-views have been on a Sunday, but I digress. That's a different company. So
we get into this match. Sydal does a sliding dropkick on Cage. Cage, of course, 18 times bigger than this dude and just picks him up and throws him. I mean, this dude, he's throwing Sydal all over the ring. Sydal used the question mark kick and a standing moonsault. Or before that, he actually hit a Mita Roya onto Cage, onto the ramp. And, God, I thought he blew his knee out.
Yeah.
They put the camera on him when he hit it, and I thought he lost a kneecap.
That ramp is not forgiving at all.
So Cage tried to throw a discus lariat. Sydal ducked it, and then Cage caught him with a short clothesline. Cage attempted the suplex. Sydal countered with the hurricanrana. Sydal goes to the top rope, jumps towards Cage. Cage caught him, hits him with the drill claw, and Cage beats Sydal. Mm-hmm. My friend Trent was like, "Man, can Sydal get some wins on TV?" And I was like, "Yeah, but he's not beating King and he's not beating Cage." Like, I understand, like, I want Matt Sydal to get some wins on TV too. But, you know, with the dudes he's been, he's not beating Eddie Kingston. He's not beating Brian Cage, and he shouldn't. And, you know, where do you slot him in, you know?
That's a great, great point, because he's not, even with the TNT title on Darby, I think that'd be a great match, but he's not beating Darby for that title.
Yeah, that's the issue with AEW. Is they've only got 2 hours of TV, and they've got such a massive roster. And I get it because, like, they haven't let go of guys unless they have had issues like, you know, Jimmy Havoc. Yeah. Because it's a pandemic. They're not letting guys go.
Yeah, which I 100%.
Which I respect. I respect that.
I respect the hell out of that.
But because when you have a roster that big and you only have 2 hours of TV, there's just a lot of dudes that can't get on TV.
Yes.
Poor all the women.
I'll say this. At least there's not guys in the back just sitting there not doing anything. If you like read anything about AEW, even if you're not on TV, everybody's helping do something when the show's going. So I appreciate that a lot. But after the match, Ricky Starks gets on the mic and he's talking about, oh, we ranked and we here now. And then Ricky Starks says, FTW's presence will be felt tonight because the Revolution is going to be televised. And see, I love that line because it gives them something to build on. That's going to be their catchphrase going forward, if I had to guess. So,
yeah, I was like, oh, you know, like, remember the first Modern Warfare campaign? Yeah. That, like, first level where the terrorist stronghold kills the leader. And he's like, it'll be televised. Yeah. And he does it on TV. I was like, man, we're playing Modern Warfare right now.
Televised. Okay. But
dude,
I love
dude
that.
Got a revolution going. Yeah. Hamilton style.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited. I want to see what they're going to do with Ricky Starks. I think we pretty much know where they're going with Cage. I want to see what they're going to – I just want to see what they're going to do with Ricky.
Dude, I want the TNT title on Ricky Starks. That dude is money.
But my thing is, how early can you take it off of Darby?
Because I don't see Darby holding this title long, to be completely honest. Just off the basis that they've screwed everything up with Darby. Like, they had – this dude was so over, and he sat at home and made, like, videos, and then he Sting, and then Darby, you suck, and then even now he's in the Raptors. You know, I have no faith in them to handle Darby Allin correctly, to be completely honest. So I don't see the title being on him long.
I just want to know what they're going to do, and it's going to be interesting to watch because I don't – if you pull the title off of him early, then you're kind of just conceding to the facts. But at the same time, you got to give him something to do.
What do you mean, bro? He's in the Raptors.
Instead of just sitting there, which he didn't. He had a nice run, as we've already stated. He does his thing. But I think if they could find a clear direction and just follow that, they would be much better off with Darby. But we'll see what happens.
If... you know, as long as Cody isn't the one to take the title off of him, I think a short reign wouldn't hurt him. As long as it's not Cody. And Cody did state that he's not taking his rematch, so I think Cody's done with the TNT title. At least I pray to God he is. But speaking of Cody...
yeah, man. Let's get into it.
Let's... yeah. So, so Cody's in the ring... he gets out, he comes out, and he's talking, he's like, you know, me and Arn Anderson decided, and at first I thought he was going to split from Arn.
Yeah.
The way he was wording it, I thought he was going to announce that Arn was no longer managing him, but he just said that him and Arn decided that Cody was not going to explore his rematch. He's not going to be seeking his rematch. He's like, you know, it's important. Congratulate Darby Allin. And I can't remember if they showed him or not in the Raptors, but he's still in the Raptors. He's like, we're not going to be seeking a rematch. And he's talking about how he's got some losses that, you know, he'd like to scrub off his record. Talking about how, you know, he lost to Mr. Brody Lee, and then he was able to avenge that loss in essence and scrub it from his record. So he's like, you know, I'm thinking maybe MJF. And then... a girl that I didn't know who she was, is, you know, she's getting in the ring and she's standing behind Cody, and Cody's like, can I help you?
Yeah.
And she grabs the mic and she's like, for those that don't know, she's like, Cody, how dare you sit here and lie? You liar. You're a liar. How dare you lie to our prestigious AEW audience? For those of you that don't know, my name is Jade Cargill, and I'm the total package, baby. And I said, where is Lex Luger?
I will say this. She cut one heck of a promo. She cut one heck of a promo.
We haven't even gotten to the best part yet.
Yeah.
Because she starts, you know, oh, I've been on the saddle, you're the American prince, you're a giant killer. Well, Cody... there's nothing giant about you. Your pecker's small. What? What? Huh? Why? Why? Why are we talking about Cody's Johnson? Why? Where? Why? I like, do you have anything to like, why?
I got nothing to say to that. That was the one part I didn't like. I got nothing for that.
And
Don't pop on the crowd, I'll say that much.
she's like, I know a real giant that, I know a real giant, and things that you're saying, it's loud enough to wake him up, so you better watch out. I'm nothing to be played with. And then she leaves the ring, and I still can't figure out why we're talking about Cody's pecker. And she turns around and she's like, "Oh, congratulations, but I guess you didn't have the balls to go by one name." And once again, I still don't know why we're talking about Cody's genitals here. And she goes, "That giant that you're talking about, oh, he's the real star. And you know what his name is? Shaq." All right, so before we even get to the Brandi Rhodes part, which the promo that Brandi Rhodes cut was the best promo that Brandi Rhodes has ever cut.
Yep. It was great.
Okay, so one, why? Two, why? Three, is it actually going to happen, or is it going to be like the Mike Tyson thing where it just never gets talked about again? Because I'll be honest, I didn't like this segment at all. I don't like a Shaq Cody Rhodes feud, and I feel like if this same exact segment were to happen, and instead of Cody Rhodes, it was Seth Rollins, and instead of Brandi Rhodes, it was Becky Lynch, I feel like everybody on Twitter would be making fun of WWE for it. This is the exact stuff that I don't watch WWE for because I don't want to see stuff like this.
I totally understand what you're saying. I like the promo. I like the promo. I don't necessarily like the idea of a Shaq match, but I understand why they're going to run with it because they've been showing him backstage, blah, blah, blah. And people, if you're a basketball fan, you might tune in. You probably won't, but it's just another way for them to try to expand. I thought the promo was fire. I can't lie. I thought the promo was fire for what it was worth. As you said, it's a comedy thing. Well, I don't know if comedy is the right word, but it's
It was funny, but I don't think they intended for it to be funny.
no. But I throughout the whole promo, like the whole package, when Cody's in the ring, then Jay comes out, and then Brandi comes out and just starts snapping. I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah, like I said,
Now,
it was the best Brandi promo she's ever had because she ran out to the stage and, was cussing him or cussing Jade out.
to the match, I'm kind of with you. I don't see it happening. Because obviously they didn't get the Tyson thing, but wasn't he supposed to fight and then coronavirus like cut it off or something? I don't remember.
He
I'm pretty
was gonna fight. I mean, we were already in the pandemic when it happened because it happened after All Out. And no, it was before All Out. I think it was Double or Nothing actually.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
It
cause
was.
yeah, cause Cody beat Lance Archer for the title. So we were already in the pandemic, and I think he was supposed to fight in November or this month, but I think it did get moved back.
I'll say this. I won't mind this as much if they don't hype it up to be some big match because it's Shaq. Okay? What do I mean by that? You can't hype this up to be a one-on-one match because yes, Shaq's a giant, but Cody should wipe the floor with Shaq because Shaq's not a wrestler. And
Yeah.
if they hype it up to be, oh, here's Shaq, he's gonna get in the ring, and they have fun with it, I don't think I'll hate it as much. I'll say this, it doesn't deserve a spot on pay-per-view. It does not.
It
But
doesn't. It
if it happens,
will, but it
it will,
shouldn't.
but we'll see. I love the promo. I'm not dogging the promo. I didn't mind it. The Shaq idea, I love Shaq. Love Shaq. Let me just throw it out there. I love Shaq. I don't like the idea of a match, say so. If they make it to be some kind of gimmick match, fine. They have it to, if they hype it up to be, oh, it's Shaq, one-on-one versus Cody. Shaq's not a wrestler. So.
I just it felt it left me with a sour taste in my mouth because, dudes on Twitter are like, oh, like that was great, that was awesome, man. That was great. Shaq Cody's gonna be awesome, but like I said, if you replace, if it's at Raw and it's Seth Rollins instead of Cody Rhodes and the same exact thing happens, dudes are crapping on it on Twitter. Oh,
Well,
WWE, we want wrestling. It's a wrestling show. Vince is out of touch. Vince sucks. And like that, I don't know. It didn't sit right with me.
think you could say that about a lot, though, honestly. If because it's just been happening for so long that I don't know, it's a touchy situation. I'll say that.
I think the only match in pro wrestling that would involve Shaq that could, like, I would be excited for would be a Big Show Shaq match. Like, if that would have ever happened, and there were multiple points for it to happen and they fell through every time, but if we ever would have got a Big Show Shaquille O'Neal match, that would have ruled. That would have ruled.
Just to let's
But,
expand a little bit. If I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off,
oh no,
but
I was just
if
gonna say that, like, Cody Rhodes is like 6'1".
So let me just throw this at you. What's the difference between this and Pat McAfee on NXT? Just your quick synopsis of everything.
So McAfee is a pro wrestler. Like, if you watch Pat McAfee, I don't know if you ever watched this match with, like, ended up watching this match with Adam Cole. He was bumping, he was doing spots, like he actually trains. And my thing with Shaq is, like, I'm not worried because a lot of times you'll get celebrities that, like, don't care for wrestling and it sucks. That's not gonna be the issue. Shaq loves wrestling. Like, that's not the issue. It's the fact that it makes no sense. There's no catalyst for it. Whereas with Pat McAfee, there was a reason, because Adam Cole went on his podcast. They shot and started an angle because they had Cole and Pat making fun of each other. And McAfee's just one of those dudes that remember when Stephen Amell, I think that's his name, the dude that plays Arrow, went and he worked with Cody in WWE at SummerSlam when he was Stardust. If they ever brought him in to do a match in AEW, I would love it because he can work for a celebrity. He can work. He loves the business. Like, I think it would have been fine. This, it makes no sense because there's no reason for, like, what's the reason for her being mad? Because he's the giant killer and okay, but shouldn't you be defending somebody that's, I don't know, on the active roster? It'd be different if there was some giant on the roster that she had befriended and was defending that person. We've never seen Shaq on AEW programming. He's never been mentioned by AEW. There's not a connection there. At least with the Tyson Jericho stuff, you had the callback to when Tyson was a guest on Raw and punched Jericho. This just, there's no reason other than to say, hey, we got Shaquille O'Neal for a match. Whereas with Pat McAfee, it's an actual story. Like, they've got a story. He's got a whole stable, full of wrestlers. He's got the NXT Tag Team Champions and Pete Dunne. There's no story here. It's just, hey, we got Shaquille O'Neal, and we're going to try to use that to get mainstream publicity. And I don't like it.
I'm not gonna say I don't like it. I've said it multiple times. I don't necessarily like the idea of a match right now. I don't hate on them for trying to get mainstream publicity. Everybody does it. We'll see where they go with this. I'm gonna say that much. I'll say it again. I thought the promo was fire. Love the promo. Didn't necessarily like some of the parts. We're not gonna mention that again, but
Though I will. I hated that they brought up Cody's ding-a-ling. It killed the whole segment for me.
we'll see where they go with it. See if they build on it or not. That's where
Because, I
I'm at.
mean, look, she's a total package. And then I wanted, I'm sitting there thinking about Lex Luger. And next thing I know, we're talking about Cody's Johnson. I didn't, it made no, it just didn't make sense to me. And I don't know, AEW, they build themselves on, we're a sports-based wrestling entity. Like, we are wrestling. And then you go and do stuff like this.
I didn't hate it. You did. I'll say that much.
It's more. This is more sports entertainment than wrestling to me. And AEW's big thing is they're a wrestling company. Yeah, I didn't care for it. And what made even less sense, like, what made it make even less sense is while Brandy and Jade are going out on the stage, Brian Cage and Ricky Starks jump Cody from behind.
Yeah.
So they jump Cody, and then Darby comes down, and Darby is wearing a thumbtack jacket.
Yeah.
And he jumps, and I think it was Cage with the jacket. Yeah. And yeah. He's got, obviously, thumbtacks on him and stuff. And then Will Hobbs comes out looking big as ever. And Team Taz retreats, and I think they announce it later in the show. But next week, or actually this upcoming week, the main event is Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin versus Brian Cage and Ricky Starks in a tag team match.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have Team Taz jump him and all that, then what's the point of the Shaq match?
Oh, okay. I'll throw this out there. If they want to tie all of this together and have the Shaq match at the Special Dynamite where they're doing the world title match, fine. Put a nice little bow on it, get it over with. Because it's not going away because Shaq works for TNT, so
yeah,
not going away. I think the best for, since you, I guess the best thing for guys like you who don't care for this is that it goes out without a hitch, I guess. I'm a little bit more intrigued because I think it has decent potential. Now, whether it'll get to that or not, well, we might know. We might not. Like you said, it might not ever happen. We don't know because Tyson just faded, which I was happy that Tyson did fade. I'll say that much. I didn't care for Tyson at all. So, we'll see.
If they wanted to, instead of making it Cody Shaq, do Jade versus Brandy and get a second woman's feud on the show, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. I'll get more into the women's division because I'm more fired up than normal about it. We'll get there later in the show. But, yeah, I like the Hobbs, Cody, Darby versus Team Taz thing. I think that's really cool. I love all six guys. I just don't really think they need to do something with Shaq as far as, like, a match. With how talented Cody is, I would rather see Cody in a real wrestling feud with a real wrestler that could elevate somebody and be a good feud like that. I would prefer that.
Yeah, and I respect that. I will say this about Cody. He's got the new game show coming out, which I'm never going to hate on somebody going to get money. I'm not going to do that. Obviously, unless
they just drop the TNT title just to go film and then win it right when they come back.
So, but
which is exactly what he did.
That feels exactly like the same thing to me. Like, he's going to do Shaq because he has nowhere else to go, say so. But, like I said, we're going to see if they build on it because obviously they're in the main event next week. Well, not Shaq, but Cody's in the main event next week. So if they build on it and they make it into something, cool. If they come out one day and say, oh, yeah, at such and such date, it's Shaq versus Cody, then I'll reevaluate my stance on it.
So after this, John Moxley is backstage with Alex Marvez.
Busy night.
Alex Marvez is a guy. He was all over the place tonight. So Mox is saying, it's impossible for me. Like, I figured out that, like, I am incapable of saying the words I quit. Like, I'm built different. I can't do it. And he talks about he's beat Kenny Omega before and that it's not easy to beat Kenny Omega twice. That, you got to be special to be able to do that. But if anybody can do it, it's me.
Yeah.
And then it's announced that Mox is defending the title against Kenny Omega on the December 2nd episode of Dynamite.
Yeah.
And what makes this decision even more peculiar is Dave Meltzer reported today that as of now, there's no plans for any AEW talent to work Wrestle Kingdom this year. Because me and my friend Nick and Trent, what we were kind of thinking about is you know, okay, Kenny beats him for the title, and then Mox will go work New Japan.
Yep.
For you know, late December to January, work Wrestle Kingdom, finish up some business there, and then come back in February for the rematch with Kenny at Revolution.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there's no plans for any AEW talent to work Wrestle Kingdom, then I guess they just decided they want to pop a rating. You know, I don't think that's a fair way to put it, because that makes it sound like they're trying to, like, they're desperate. I don't think it's that. I think that, you know, they do like rewarding the viewers of Dynamite. Yeah. And I don't think, like, I don't know when it, like, when people thought it became a bad thing to defend the main championship, your world champion. I don't, people think that's such a bad thing to do on TV now. And I think it's because the 15, 20 years after the Attitude Era, it never happened.
Yeah.
So a whole generation came up not knowing that. Whereas, like, if you look back, you know, especially in the Attitude Era, those titles got defended fairly frequently on the weekly shows.
Absolutely. And going back to, like, the whole generation came up not seeing that. But then when it did happen, it never changed, or you never got a clear and concisive finish.
Yeah.
So that had to deal with, that goes into it as well.
Yeah.
I said last week I didn't expect this to happen until Revolution. I am shocked that they are doing this on, it's not free, you got to pay for cable, but on TV.
Yeah. And look, I, like, it made me think, you know, I thought maybe they'd wait, because that's a big match, but I just didn't see, and we talked about this, I didn't see any way that they would be able to stretch that to February.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think there was any way that they'd be able to stretch.
The story's already there. Like, Kenny, we'll get to Kenny later and show his interview, but long story short, the whole interview thing was, Moxley's never beat him one-on-one in an actual match that's on record. Because you remember, after the match was not sanctioned, so technically it didn't count.
Yeah, it was the lights-out match.
Yeah, it was the lights-out match. So I thought they could stretch it because the story's there without you doing anything. But I guess they didn't feel that way. I don't hate the decision at all. I don't. Like, the match is going to be great. I don't hate it at all. I'm just shocked that they're doing it not on pay-per-view. Because no matter how, any way you slice it, Mox and Kenny are in your top five biggest draws, no matter which way you slice it. So
yeah, and I fully expect, because I don't think the AEW titles, it hasn't changed hands. It's never changed hands on Dynamite.
No,
like, it's been defended, but it has never changed. I think it does this time. I fully think it will.
I expected Moxley to drop it and go to Japan just like you. So maybe there's just no reports because, you know, Moxley doesn't really tell people stuff. Like, he does more now than he was with WWE because, you know, he wasn't happy with the situation.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
I can't see, you know, they built the cleaner up. They built Kenny up. I can't see him losing the title match. Like, yeah. I can't.
I can see that.
But, you know, I think, because Tony Khan said that they've got, I think it's called, like, Beach Blast in January. It's going to be a special Dynamite. And they're working on something for December. And I would have to think that this, like, December 2nd will be the special December episode of Dynamite, because you've got a freaking world title match on it.
Yeah.
So after they announced that, we go to the Bunkhouse match. Butcher and the Blade versus the Natural Nightmares. And let me say, this match went freaking crazy.
Before you dive in, I just want to say this. Last week I came on here and I asked why QT Marshall was on my TV every week. I apologize to QT Marshall. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this match blew my expectations away.
This match was phenomenal.
I think all four dudes, Blade, like, they all gigged.
Yeah.
They all gigged. And look, y'all got a hardcore match. We got ladders, bull ropes, cowbells, chains, chairs. Everybody in the match is bleeding. I'm going crazy in my room. There's nothing I love more. Four dudes just beating the piss out of each other.
Yeah. It was brutal. And poor QT, I'm pretty sure he was the first one to go. So he sat there for half the match with blood in his eyes.
Yeah,
so,
cuz at one point
it was the guitar.
I think cuz after the guitar shot, he got his head put in the ropes and Bunny like grated something across his face.
Yeah. It was one of those cuz that guitar shot was nasty. All you saw, the guitar was over his head and all you seen was the smoke, like the dust from the wood. I'm like, "Oh my gosh."
Yeah. So they at one point like a ladder gets brought into the ring and bro, QT, oh my god.
Yeah.
This dude jumped off the ladder.
He did.
He went to the top of the ladder, and this was not like your little small, this was a tall ladder. He went to the top and dropped an elbow.
Yeah.
Dude, he dropped the elbow and I marked.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't address this. The Butcher? This dude's look when he came out? Oh my god. This dude was double bandana upped.
Yeah.
With the leather apron on, looking jacked. This dude is built like a brick. Double bandana up, just looking like the Butcher and the Blade freaking rule.
Yeah. Look, down the line, I'd love to see the Butcher and the Blade get tag team titles and just let them run with it. But the Young Bucks obviously have those titles now. I can't see the Young Bucks losing the Butcher and Blade. But like I said, down the road. So, we'll see.
But yeah, this match was back and forth. At one point, Dustin got handcuffed to the ropes.
Yes, he did.
And I thought it messed up, and it may have, because eventually he was gonna get out of the handcuffs.
Yeah.
But I think Blade went and hit him, and he like fell off the apron, and they like snapped off. And I don't think that's how they intended for him to get out of them. And it looked kind of, the fall didn't look very good. It looked kind of sick.
But it's live TV. You got to roll with the punches.
Yeah. So, obviously he was going to get out either way because Dustin and QT do end up winning the match.
Yeah.
The Blade was hitting Dustin with a steel chair. They hit full death on Dustin. QT made the save. Dustin grabbed the, So, Blade grabbed a chair, and QT elbowed the chair, and Blade, like, fell back, which knocked her into the bunny, and the bunny went flying off the apron through the table. Obviously, Blade's like, oh my god. And then QT hit him with a diamond cutter after Dustin hit him with the cowbell. National Nightmares score the victory. When the match first started, I was like, man, like, please don't let them win. Like, please don't let them win. But then after the match they had, yeah, I was fine with them winning.
Dude, this match was phenomenal. I've already apologized to QT. I just wanted, round of applause to all the guys because, my goodness.
They beat the mess out of each other.
I'll say this about this whole show. It never stopped moving. I got the sense that everybody was coming off of full gear. And was like, we got to put on a show tonight. Like, we got to go. Because full gear was great. And then I felt like it carried over. Almost like a sports team. Coming off a big win, it just carries over.
Sorry, I'm a Tennessee sports fan. I don't really know what a big win is.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm a Titans fan. So, I understand it now. But that's how I felt. That's the feeling I got. The momentum carried over. And it was phenomenal. The whole night was great.
Yeah. So, after this, it's time for MJF and Wardlow's induction into the Inner Circle. Sammy was not there. So, it was just Ortiz, Santana, and Hager. Of course, MJF and Wardlow come out. So, MJF said he wrote a little poetry.
Like, 10 bits. Like, nah, bro.
Yeah. He goes, it's been a long road, a long 5 years with a lot of pressure. But it created the diamond you see before you today. He reads the poem, which were Drake lyrics.
Yeah. Which.
And Ortiz is like, he grabs the mic, he's like, you serious? Jericho, Chris. I know you know that's Drake. And then Jericho's like, no, who is Drake? Like, that's MJF. Like, those are his words. And MJF's like, dude, those were my words. Jericho cut Ortiz off and was like, look, MJF beat me. If you want to blame anybody, it was my fault because I let him beat me. He's here now. We made the deal. We're the most unstoppable force, and you better all get along. Ortiz was just like, whatever. Of course, Jericho's birthday just happened, so MJF, he's singing happy birthday. Balloons are falling, and MJF presents everybody with tickets to Vegas. First-class plane tickets, because they're going to Vegas, baby.
Vegas.
Of course, Santana and Hager are like, all right, yeah, that's cool. And then Ortiz is like, I mean, Vegas is cool, I guess, but I still don't like this dude.
And poor Sammy, we don't know where Sammy's at.
Yeah. Eventually we do figure out where Sammy is, but not yet.
MJF is like, we're going to Vegas. It's on me. Yeah. This dude said it's on me like 18 different times, but it works. So yeah.
Look, he's Drake, bro. Or Drake is him.
He said it's on me for real. I was like, all right, MJF, calm down. But dude, this segment rocked. I don't care anymore.
I'm just ready for Warlow to get his world title push. Wake me up when that happens.
This segment rocked. Going to Vegas, or they're going to do some taping. Now, yeah. Are they actually Vegas? Probably not. But
I don't know. With Jericho, he might make him actually go to Vegas.
Yeah, Jericho's like, all right, hop in the back. We're going to Vegas.
They're going to pull up. Jericho and be like, all right, we're here to count the ballots. Be like, what?
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 We digress. But, dude, this rocked. And then later, this man, Sammy, comes up and was like, Jericho's like, where you been, Sammy?
And we're going to go ahead and jump into that.
Yeah, let's jump into that because it just goes along with it. I'm sorry. I'm a little off schedule today.
But right, it's like five segments later in the show. I'm feeling good. But Alex Marvez with his like 18th interview of the night, interviewing Inner Circle, and of course, take it away.
So, this man, Sammy, comes up. He's like, what's up, guys? And Jericho's like, where you been, Sammy? Sammy's irate. Sammy looks at MJF and goes, MJF emailed me, told me to go to the beach. And I'm sitting there like, the beach? And this man, MJF, goes, no, that was the first email. I sent a second one. You didn't get it? And Santana Ortiz are like, well, I got the email.
And yeah, course, everybody else is like, we got the email. What are you talking about?
Or Sebby's like, I ain't getting no email. MJF was like, nah, you didn't check your email this morning. I sent another one. I was just sitting there like, God, this man, MJF, trying to kick Sammy out of his own group. It's like, God.
And Jericho was like, oh, calm down, Sammy. Like, you know, we're going to Vegas, whatever, get over it. And he gives a ticket, and MJF gives him his ticket and says, it's on me.
Yeah.
And so they all posted this photo on their social media. And Santana and Hager are, you know, and Jericho, they're all cheesing. Santana and Jericho are cheesing. Sammy's pissed. Ortiz is discontent.
Yeah.
MJF's cheesing. And Warlow and Hager are just staring a hole through each other. And look. If this doesn't end with Wardlow chokeslamming Hager in Vegas, I'm going to be hot. All right? I'm going to be hot.
I don't think it'll happen that quick.
It won't, but God, I can't wait.
This is crazy. I'm sorry. I know I threw a soft schedule. I joked around. I got excited.
So, back to the in-ring segment they had. After that, Alex Marvez, at this point, it was only like his 84th interview of the night.
Yeah,
where's Dasha at? I like Dasha better anyway. I don't care for Alex Marvez. He interviews the Young Bucks, and basically this just put over their match with Top Flight next week. So this has got announced. Oh, this was supposed to be this week. And I guess something happened because they had to push it back because it got announced. Like, I guess the graphic got leaked or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they were supposed to face him this week, but I guess they just moved it to next week in the Bucks. They will be taking on the Top Flight, which I've never seen the Top Flight, but my friend Nick said they freaking rule. So I'm sure it'll be a great match.
Yeah.
So after this, we get Sean Spears versus Scorpio Sky. Sky's 12-3 in his past 15, but once again, dark. So yeah. They, you know, they're going back and forth. Of course, this got rescheduled because Sky had come into contact with a COVID-19 case, and they, of course, wanted to clear a protocol because, hey, look, brother, we don't run a sloppy shop around here.
Yeah.
You know, shout out Taz. Tully left the steel slug for Spears on the ring apron and then went and distracted the ref. So Spears obviously gets the slug. So Tully gives a slug to Sky, and I assume this was only for the pure reason to confuse him.
Yeah.
Throw him off. Of course, Sky throws it out because he doesn't want to do that. Spears hits him with the loaded glove and pins him for the three count. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I did not think that Spears was going to win. I fully expected Sky to go over. Well, it's cool that Spears got the win.
Yeah.
Feel like Scorpio Sky maybe could have used it better considering Hangman is about the only babyface in AEW.
Yeah, I agree.
Just feel like they could maybe build up some babyfaces.
It's very noted that I like Scorpio Sky a lot. I like Scorpio Sky a lot. I like Spears a lot too. And I thought the way I was shocked the Spears won too. But I thought the way they did it protected Sky because, you know, it was a loaded glove. So I was shocked. We'll see where they go with it. I don't know if plans got thrown off with Sky because of his contact or what happened. Because if you ask me if this match happened a week ago, I think Sky wins. I thought Sky was going to win anyways. So I don't know. We'll see where they go with it. But I like that Tully is still with Spears because he was not with him for a little bit when FTR got there, and now he's back. Now, where he went for the movies, we'll never know. But
so after this, Alex Marvez in his 87th interview of the night, or 86th or whatever. I've lost track. This dude's been all over the show. So I think that first they cut to Dasha, and she was like, yeah, I don't know where Kenny's at. This dude dipped.
Kenny's so like,
Marvez catches up with Kenny, and Kenny is talking to somebody on the phone. He goes, you know, I'll call you back, big man. And so he's asking Kenny, you know, about the match, and Kenny was like, you know, Mox has never beat me. You know, like, I looked. He's like, I recognize the name John Moxley, but I looked at the record books, and I've never faced him. Of course, playing off that their match was a lights-out match, so it wasn't on the record. So he's like, you know, I've never, you know, it'll be nice to get in the ring with him, but, you know, I don't recall the time I've ever faced him. And he goes, you know, all I heard was, where's the cleaner? And he's like, I've heard the chatter. He goes, I never left. I'm ready to resume my responsibility. And at the biggest dynamite ever, on December 2nd, he says he asked John, what happens when he faces him in a regular wrestling match? Which makes me think, like, surely they have to be doing the Shaq-Cody match on that Dynamite too. If they're building it up as, you know, the biggest Dynamite ever. Because that immediately makes me think of when WCW said it was the biggest Nitro ever when Goldberg beat Hogan in the Georgia Dome.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't see them building this up as the biggest Dynamite ever and only doing Kenny versus Moxley. Did you see what Tony Khan said about Dynamite feuds?
I did not. I've scrolled through Twitter some, but I don't think I've seen what you're particularly talking about.
So somebody asked him why, because the Best Friends and Miro Kip Sabian thing, like, it wasn't on the pay-per-view, and before that, Proud and Powerful versus that's Santana and Ortiz is his name, right? Proud and Powerful.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I want to make sure I get that right. Versus Best Friends in the Parking Lot Brawl. That was on a Dynamite and not the pay-per-view. So they asked Tony Khan about it, and he said there are certain feuds that they want to, like, reward people that watch Dynamite every week. That they don't want to build solely for pay-per-view, that they want to give people a reason to watch Dynamite and, like, reward them for keeping with the show every week. So I thought that was really cool, and I think that explains why they're going to do Kenny versus Moxley on a episode of Dynamite. Like, I thought that was really cool. They know what money matches they need to keep for pay-per-view.
Yes.
But they know, like, they didn't give away Hangman and Kenny on Dynamite, but when you're, like, they're running back Moxley and Kenny, like, this is the first time they ever faced. I don't, like, they would have waited for the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But with them, it shows that as long as it's happened before, they'll give it on Dynamite. And I really thought that was cool. Yeah, or even the Brody Lee Cody dog collar match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool that they actually like reward you for watching their weekly show too.
Yeah, I agree. It helps because, like you said, we've been so used to weekly shows kind of just being there, and now I feel like it actually means something. So
yeah,
it's much appreciated.
So, Tay Conti with Anna Jay faced Red Velvet with Brandi Rhodes. Red Velvet is with Brandi Rhodes solely for the reason that she looks like Brandi Rhodes. Apparently, she looks like a little brand, according to everybody. This match, it happened. Tay Conti rules. Had me feeling primal. Anna Jay slid a chair into the ring for Tay to use. Tay Conti didn't want to use it. Used a knee instead and pinned Red Velvet. Of course, the Dark Order comes out. Anna Jay takes Tay Conti back with her with the Dark Order. And it's time for me to get on my soapbox about the women's division again. So, again, they had the Brandi Rhodes, Jade thing early in the show. And let me make this very clear. I get that FTR was not on the show. I get that Hangman was not on the show. John Silver was, you know, a lot of losers from Full Gear were not on the show. But most of the winners were. Where's Serena Deeb? Where's Thunder Rosa? Where's Sheeta? Where's Britt Baker? Where's Nyla Rose? Where's Big Swole? It's not even a, oh, well, they don't have talent anymore, because I just listed off like 6 or 7 names that all could have. Serena Deeb retained the NWA title, not on the show. Thunder Rosa came out after her match and challenged her to a title match, not on the show. Sheeta retained the women's title, not on the show. Vicky Guerrero slapped Nyla Rose in the face after the match, not on the show. Britt Baker, who you would have to think is next in line for a women's title shot from Sheeta, not on the show. Big Swole, who is top of the rankings, not on the show. Can we please get our champions on the show? I'm begging you. Even if it's just a backstage interview, to start something, because they announced, I think it's this week, that Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb are facing off for the NWA Women's title on Dynamite. Cool. That's awesome. That's going to be a great match. You could have talked about it on Dynamite. It didn't have to be a Twitter exclusive. You could have talked about it on you could have shot the angle on Dynamite. You could have confirmed the match on Dynamite.
Yeah.
You could have done anything to get your main players on TV. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not asking them to go have a 35-minute Iron Man match. Just do something. You have two women's champions, and they weren't shown once. Serena Deeb can cut a promo. Sheeta can cut a promo. There's a story with Nyla Rose and Vicky. Thunder Rosa just started a story with Serena Deeb. Do something!
There's nothing else to say. We've been saying this since we started this. This is episode 6, right? We say it every week. It's not the fact that they don't have two matches every week. I'd like them to have two matches. What's the reality of that happening? Obviously not very good right now, but hopefully we get there one day. It's like you just said, at least the backstage interview. Moxley doesn't wrestle every week, nor should he with the matches he goes through, but he always has an interview or at least a clip.
Yeah. You always feel his presence.
So why can't we, like, look, if you're going to do one women's match and you're set on that, okay, but can I get a Sheeta interview or whoever has the title? Can I get a Britt Baker segment in the dentist office?
It'd be nice.
Can I get a Rose segment with Vicky Guerrero in like a dungeon somewhere with the lights off, having like a conversation about a match or something? Like,
yeah, here's the women's rankings as of November 11th. Sheeta is obviously the champion. Big Swole is number one. Nyla Rose is two. Penelope 4, 3. Serena Deeb 4. Britt Baker 5. Did you see any of them on the show this week?
Not that I remember.
And looking at the official like summary of the show on AEW's website, they're not talked about.
Because
we got Brandi Rhodes, though.
That match that happened on Dynamite wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. It was good. The matches are never bad. Like, we've talked about it before. Not every match is going to be great. It's not going to happen. Wrestling's been happening way too long for every match to be great. Give them a chance, at least.
Yeah, we'll try to avoid bringing up. I was just extra fired up because it was the post-pay-per-view episode and they didn't do anything with either of the two titles they have. But whatever. So after this, after the women's match was the second half of the Inner Circle stuff, and we already talked about that, so we'll just go straight to the main event. Eddie Kingston came out. He said that, you know, no excuses. He lost to Mox. Mox is the better man, and one day he'll be the world champion. You know, he lost, but he's going to be back, and he's going to win. Mm-hmm. And he joined the commentary. Main event time. Penta El Zero Mito versus Rey Fénix. This match picked right up where the second one left off. The first one left off.
Yep.
They are beating the piss out of each other. They're ripping each other's mask. They're going, like, they're throwing everything they have. So, something that bothered me a lot during this match was Tony Schiavone. It seemed every 10 seconds, oh, well, Eddie, you've got these two brothers fighting each other. This is your fault, Eddie. This is your fault. They're beating each other up, Eddie. They're so angry, Eddie. This is your fault, Eddie. And like halfway through the match, Eddie's like, God, shut up, Tony. I thought that at one point he was like, anybody in the back, can y'all tell Tony to shut up? This dude will not leave my case. And even I think even JR at one point was like, all right, you know. All right, Tony, I think you can tone that back a little bit there, pal. But what doesn't make sense to me is, one, in the qualifier match, in the tournament, in the eliminator tournament, they talked about how they would face each other when they first got to the States, and that's how they made their name.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make sense why Tony Schiavone would be outraged that they're facing each other now. And, you know, like, yes, they're throwing stiff shots and package power drivers and all that, but Tony Schiavone was more disgusted with these two brothers fighting each other than he was by the hardcore I Quit match at the pay-per-view. There was more disgust in his voice getting mad at Eddie Kingston for the brothers fighting each other than he had when they poured rubbing alcohol in Moxley's thumbtack wound. Like, I don't know if somebody just told Tony to ramp it up, or Tony's just having a bad night, or Tony just doesn't like Eddie Kingston, but I think everybody on the commentary team was getting kind of fed up with it. Because, I mean, Eddie was starting to get pissed at the end. And he was real, because he wouldn't drop it. You know, it'd be different if he, like, said it here or there, but he just kept pushing it. He wasn't calling the match. He was just getting on Eddie's case, and it bothered me a lot.
We've been over this. Commentary doesn't make or break stuff for me as much anymore. I guess that's the right way to put it. I understand what you're saying. He never dropped it, but I felt like that was the point, because at the end, obviously, with what happened at the end, they're going to do the whole the family's falling apart thing. So, which is fine. I don't mind it. But,
it was cool. Like, at first, Tony was like, oh, well, you know, Butcher and the Blade lost tonight, and you lost at Full Gear, and now the brothers are fighting each other, you know, the family's kind of falling apart. And that was fine. Like, you know, that's a, okay, like, cool, fair point. Like, you're hitting the story, you know, cool. And he kept just bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing them up. And Eddie was like, God, can you shut up? Somebody get this dude away from me.
Like, I don't harp on commentary because I try to focus on the match more than the commentary. Nothing against the commentators. I love the commentators. It's just I try to focus on what's in the ring more than the commentary.
Well, how about you focus on my sauce?
I definitely get what you're saying. I'm not buying barbecue sauce. I'm sure it's great. I just don't need barbecue sauce.
Well, you know, since you want to focus on the match, how about you focus on my book? I got a book. I got a podcast, too.
I got both books. I need to read the second one.
So they're trading strikes on the ring apron. Penta, dude. Penta hits a pile driver on the apron.
Mm-hmm.
And then follows him to the outside. Does one to the outside. And even at this point, Eddie was on commentary. He was like, okay, this is... He's like, call the match. It's going a little bit too far. Yeah. It's going too far. And then he throws it back in the ring, hits him with a third one, and pins him and wins. Eddie grabs the microphone for the match, congratulates him. You know, he's, oh, you're my best friend. He pushes Rey Fénix out of the ring and says, you don't need that dead weight of a brother. And they're celebrating. And then the music hits. And Pac is back. Pac, he comes in and he goes, Eddie, you thought I just let it go? You thought I just forgot about you, Eddie? I've had nothing to think about. I'm going to kill you. And he charges the ring. And they're going at each other. Obviously, they do the pull away as the show ends. It's like, oh, yeah, we're out of time. Buy my book. I got a podcast. Go Sooners. But this was a cool ending, and I'll let you say what you got to say, and then I'll talk about how I felt.
I'm very excited that Pac is back. I'm glad he got back to the States with all the coronavirus going on. I hope we can get Riho back now, but obviously there are tons of restrictions, and rightfully so, but I was very happy he's back. I'm excited about this story. Like, when Eddie got in the ring and kicked dude out the ring, and was like, this is my best friend. I was celebrating. And then he's just sitting there talking. He kicked him out the ring. I was like, gosh. Like, that's harsh. Like, that's great storytelling to me. That, like, he just kicked him like he was some, like a bush or something, and just, like, showed him out the ring. The match was great. I mean, you got two of it. Look, when I first watched Lucha Bros, it was at that first all-out pay-per-view when they had the ladder match with the Bucks. And I've been blown away ever since. So the match was great. They're, like you said, they beat the crap out of each other. And the story at the end was fine. Pac's back. Now, are we going to get Pac and Eddie down the road? I hope so, because that match is going to be fire. The way both
of them are. I think we'll get it at the special episode of Dynamite.
The way both of those dudes wrestle, it's going to be phenomenal. That's all I really have to say about it.
Because, Blade, they announced that Pac is making his in-ring return. He's facing Blade this week on Dynamite. And so let me preface this by saying, yes, Pac being back is really cool and it's awesome and I'm happy that he's back. Tony Khan ruined this moment. So I'm on Twitter way more than you. So I don't like, and based off your reaction, I didn't think you had saw what Tony Khan was saying, and I didn't want to tell you before because then it probably would have ruined it like it did for me. So Tony on Twitter was like, oh, you know, we got a big surprise on Dynamite tonight. You know, like one of the biggest things in pro wrestling history. And he addressed the live crowd before and was like, I promise you, the end of the show tonight, it's like, it's going to shift the balance of power in pro wrestling. And I'm thinking, okay. Like, he didn't say shift the balance of power in AEW. He said pro wrestling. So I'm thinking, okay, like, what if it's Kenta? What if it's New Japan? Like, what if they got a New Japan deal? You know, like, what if, like, they got a full-fledged partnership with the NWA? And then it was just Pac. It it was cool, but it did not meet the standards of the hype that he created. And it would have been different if, like, Twitter would have just run with it and it was all rumor and innuendo. Tony Khan himself was the one that was like, it's going to shift the balance of power in pro wrestling. And, you know, top five biggest announcement in pro wrestling history. And then it was just Pac returning. You know, it was like, cool. Glad he's back. Just shut up next time, Tony. Like, if Tony Khan would have just kept his mouth shut and not said anything, it would have been so much better for me. You know, it would have been so much better. It's like, you know, like when we were growing up, how, like, you know, 2011 to like 2014, WWE be like, oh, you know, we got a groundbreaking thing coming tonight. Like, you gotta watch Raw. It's gonna shake the core of this industry. And then it was always either just Big Show, Kane, or Mark Henry coming back.
Yeah.
It was like that. It's like, okay. If you would have just shut up and let it happen, it would have been so much better. But he didn't, and he built too much hype for it, and it did not deliver. Like, it's cool, but based off how he built it up, it did not deliver.
I'm a big actions speak louder than words kind of guy, so I get where you're coming from. I don't, like you said, I'm not on Twitter as much as you. Quite frankly, Twitter makes me mad. So, but
I wish I could leave Twitter.
I have to have it for my classes. As soon as the class is over in, let's see, just a couple of weeks, I'm deleting Twitter. So I'll be back to my bench watching TV. But I understand where you're coming from. This is one of the things that I don't like about social media is when we were growing up, if there was a surprise coming on wrestling, you didn't know about it. Like, you didn't know about it at all. And they would come back and the pop would be great. Now, I really wish we could get back to that. I think the last, I guess, big pop I can really think of, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, at a pay-per-view was probably the Hardy Brothers coming back at WrestleMania 33. I'm sure there's one before that, but that's
one pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's one that comes to mind because the crowd popped, and like they did the whole thing where they were running around with hoods all day, and there were rumors, but nobody really knew they were
Edge.
There. There were rumors. Yeah, Edge was big too.
Edge, nobody knew Edge was coming back at Royal Rumble this year. That's crazy to think that was 2020.
Yeah. Wait, dang, it really was. Dude, this year has been ridiculous.
It's been four years.
So, I wish we could get back to that, but it's never going to happen with the world we live in today. There's something to be said about tuning in and getting rewarded. Like we've been saying all night, you get rewarded for tuning in, and I think that's a lost art, but at the same time, you can't really do that. But based on what you said, the overhype was.
AEW, like, they've been okay with that because, like obviously there were rumors. Like, everybody kind of figured that Mox was going to go to AEW after he got out of WWE. But, you know, they didn't know it was going to be Double or Nothing, and the crowd lost it when he showed up in 2019. And then, Jake Roberts return this year. Yeah. Matt Hardy, Lance Archer. You know, there have been some, but it was just one of those moments where, like, all right.
We'll have to do that segment one show, our favorite returns.
Like, yeah, we will. We may do that next episode now that you said that.
Hopefully.
But, yeah, Pac is back. That's how they close the show. He's facing Blade next week. And before we wrap this up, the coveted question that I promised. So, two people, or actually not even two people, one feud that, like, maybe they've had a match, but they haven't had a full-blown feud in AEW. What is one feud that you want to see? Who would it involve? Are there titles involved? And how does it end?
Oh, it's quite simple for me. I want Britt Baker to take that title from Sheeta.
All right. Well, that was a nice episode. I'm gonna have to cancel the recording on that one. I can't tolerate Sheeta slander around here. So that's your dream out of everything that you could book in AEW, all the dream feuds you could book. That's what you're gonna go with.
Out of everything.
Everything in the company is at your disposal, and I swear to God, if it involves Austin Gunn, this podcast is done.
Nah, it's not going to involve Austin. You put me on the spot. There's so much going through my mind right
and
now.
And that's why I did it, because I wanted pure, unfiltered spur of the moment.
I can't. Just everything?
Yep.
I really don't know. And that's bad to say. I guess for now, I'm going to see.
The show does not stop until we get an answer.
If I could get a heel Cody against Kenny, I would love to see it.
Yeah, you can book anything you want. So
if I can get a heel Cody against a cleaner Kenny that's over as a babyface, I want a 30-minute match.
See, all right, mine too involves Cody, but it does not involve Kenny. So what I want is, I want Cody to obviously turn heel. At Revolution, he wins the title. He's a heel. You know, he retains it Double or Nothing. He retains it All Out. And we get to Full Gear 2021. Main event. Because, and keep in mind, Cody and Arn, they've been cheating. They've been, you know, bending all the rules to retain this title. And at Full Gear 2021, call back to the Atlanta episode of Dynamite from earlier this year. Cody Wardlow in a cage for the title with Wardlow going over. And I don't want Wardlow escaping the cage. No, that's not what we're doing here. Wardlow is climbing the top turnbuckle. They're getting onto that cage, and Cody's taking an F10 off the cage. Cody is taking an F10 off the cage. Obviously not the very top of the cage. Okay, let me rephrase it. Cody's taking an F10 from the top turnbuckle, and then Wardlow is hitting a swanton from the top of the cage, and he's pinning Cody 1-2-3 for that AEW world title. Because I want Wardlow to break away from Inner Circle and MJF, run that, you know, work up this big babyface run, get to the top of the rankings, and he gets Cody in a steel cage match at Full Gear and wins that title. That if I could book one thing, that's what I want. I want that title on Wardlow so bad.
I understand.
It is all I dream about.
Gosh, all we're going to have to get you some help.
Well, I mean, I don't sleep as it is, so...
Got to get your man some help. And you had to put me on the spot like that. As soon as we end, I'm gonna think of something else. I know it's gonna happen. We're gonna press in, and I'm gonna be like, "Oh wait!" And you're like, "Oh, it's too late now. I already know it's gonna happen."
I feel like the next episode, I feel like you're gonna hit me with the meanest surprise question ever.
Hey, look, if that's the thing we're gonna start doing, fine by me. Let's do it. It's spicy thing.
I feel like it throws a wrench in things, but that's what I would. Cody would, because I love Cody. I want to see heel Cody get his title run. But God, I want to see Wardlow get it so bad.
I want them to do the Four Horsemen. They won't, because they have the Inner Circle, and that just neutralizes everything they're doing right now. But
we all thought they were going to, and they're like, nah, about that.
Look, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't think they did because of the Inner Circle. Like,
I think they just woke up one morning and were like, all right, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. And it went with the Nightmare Collective into the land of non-exist.
If you take Jericho, Proud and Powerful, Sammy Hager, and now MJF and Wardlow, all in the Inner Circle, and then you take the Four Horsemen, being FTR, Cody, and Hangman, then that's 10 dudes in a faction that you don't have, like, you can't run single stuff with, unless you're going to expand on it like we do with the Inner Circle. But the Inner Circle, Sammy has his singles feuds, Power and Powerful has their tag team feuds, etc., etc. I was thinking about that today. I think they didn't do it because they didn't want another faction in AEW, which I don't necessarily hate. But if the Inner Circle breaks up, when they break up, let's be honest, they're going to eventually. I want them to run with Four Horsemen. They won't, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, this was episode 6 of the 4-Star Classic. Until next time, thank you all for listening.